to another episode of Sports in the Mitten, powered by ThinkSchlink.com and Mr. Spots of Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, and joining me, as always, John Gustin. And John, we have a lot of post-National Signing Day discussion. We'll have Kyle Austin of MLive.com joining us to cover the Michigan State side. He'll give us all the who, what, where, when, how, everything that we need to know about the Spartans on National Signing Day. I was down at Chrysler Center Wednesday for signing of the Stars. I'll talk about that a little bit. We'll dissect Michigan's class. There's a couple guys that I really like. We talked with Jim Harbaugh about kind of the impact of the early enrollees and that sort of thing. A lot of questions were asked. We were able to catch up with some recruits and things like that. So, and I'll just talk about the event as a whole too, kind of the atmosphere there. Little things that I noticed. Michigan State basketball, big win at Nebraska. John and I will get into that a little bit amongst ourselves. And at the end of the show, like I mentioned, we'll cover the Spartans National Signing Day. I want to start with Michigan. And John, did you catch any – did you stream Signing of the Stars online? Did you follow any of that
on Twitter
other than doing the videos that Jared sent you?
No, I have class during that time, and that was actually something I'm like, did any of them talk about how they were like enjoying getting out of class for that?
I think the ones that were there didn't have classes scheduled. There were other, other early enrollees at Michigan.
That was like 10 of them, wasn't it? It was like 9 or 10 of the early enrollees were all there, like out of the 11.
Yeah. Okay, well then maybe, yeah, I guess, and I was there, I should know that. Yeah, there was a good amount. So I don't know. I guess they all didn't have class at that time. And I know that there's a lot of people who played hooky from work to be there. Don't let the – if you saw it online, don't let the size of the arena kind of skews the actual size of the crowd, right? It kind of distorts. Last year at Hill Auditorium, I was told Hill Auditorium seats about 3,500. And that was capacity for Signing of the Stars 2016. This year, I was told, I heard a couple different estimates, but both of them were in the 5,000 to 6,000 range at Chrysler Center. And I forgot the exact capacity of Chrysler Center, but if you look at it as a big arena and only a section of it's full, then yeah, it doesn't look like a large crowd. But it was actually a pretty decent crowd, John. And like I said, I'll talk about a little bit of those things I guess at the end of the Michigan wrap up. So let's start real quick with Michigan's 2017 class, the highest rated in modern era for the Wolverines, according to a press release sent out yesterday by Michigan. And again, with the early enrollees, these are the guys that you want to watch right now. They're the ones who will be in spring ball. They're the ones who will have the first chance to make an immediate impact. And I'm just going to go through the list really quick again for Michigan, like we did during the previous show. Early enrollees, 11 of them. Donovan Peoples-Jones, he's the number one wide receiver in the country. Cesar Ruiz, he's the number one offensive center in the country. John, I don't know why they put OC.
Because sometimes you have like a nose tackle, and I think maybe.
Yeah, but he's not a defensive center, though. He's a nose tackle.
Yeah, I don't know. So they say offensive center? Because you said offensive center, I thought.
Yeah, well, and for the position, OC.
Huh.
This is on 24/7 Sports. I guess they just made it two letters.
I saw interesting discrepancies on the difference, because I was comparing stats on Rivals and 24/7 Sports and ESPN. And a couple of the times, they had people's positions listed differently. Like, when they were getting to the really micro parts, not just defensive tackle and things like that, but like weak side defensive end and strong side defensive end.
Yeah.
They had clashing reports on which one they thought they were better at or which one they wanted them at.
None of that. I don't think really a lot of that matters. Just look at them as a defensive lineman. Offensive linemen, I guess, tend to be more specialized. And I guess he's just a huge player. You're gonna assume that he'll be a tackle. He'll be playing inside. The longer, leaner, more athletic guys at ends. But, yeah, the strong side, weak side, all that stuff gets decided. Right now they're just a defensive end. So, okay, again, back to the list. Cesar Ruiz, number one center. Ambry Thomas, he's the number 13 cornerback. Tariq Black, he's the number 17 wide receiver in the country. Jalen Kelly Powell, he's the number 22 safety in the country. Donovan Jeter, number 13 of the strong side defensive ends. So one of the top defensive ends in the country. Corey Malone Hatcher is the number 20 ranked weak side defensive end. So again, another top rated defensive end in this class. Jeremon Hall, he's an offensive tackle, number 30 in the country. Benjamin St. Just, number 38 cornerback in the country. Jamarik Woods, number 30 ranked safety, and Ben Mason, number 32 ranked inside linebacker. John, I had a chance to catch up with Donovan Peoples-Jones and Tariq Black for a little bit. I also talked to Benjamin St. Just, but and I wrote about this on FanRag Sports, FanRagSports.com. You can follow us on Twitter at FanRag_U or at FanRag Sports. And John, talking with Donovan and Tariq, both of those guys really struck me as just they get it. You know what I mean? They seem pretty mature. I didn't feel like I was talking to a kid who should be taking high school classes right now. Why with either one of them, you know, and some of them you do get that feeling, and that's okay because they should be in high school. They are, you know,
they graduated a semester early. Yeah, I mean, these are guys who, in order to do this, you have to have done like extra classes. You had to do, instead of six classes per semester in high school, you had to do seven. You'd have to do extra stuff along the lines and make sure everything lined up in order to do this. So these guys had to work hard in order to be early enrollees, especially at Michigan too. I mean, everything has to line up for you academically, athletically, and then being on the right track to get all that extra work done. I mean, a lot of them, I was impressed with how articulate a lot of these guys were. I mean, especially Corey Malone Hatcher. I mean, he came off very, very well. And usually when you talk to a high school kid, you know, a senior or guys like that for football, sometimes it can be shaky just because it's new to them. But all these guys seemed like they were very well-versed and either coached up or just naturally a good disposition for communicating. And a lot of them came off very bright and intelligent.
Yeah, and a lot of times, and to no fault of their own, some people just don't like interviews. Some people just don't like, you know, being on camera, having a microphone put in their face and things like that. And so whatever, to each their own. But again, just as far, not only the way that they talked, but just, you know, just the way that their presence, I guess, you know, you just didn't feel like you were talking to, you know, high school age kids, especially for me with Donovan and Tariq. Both those guys, again, very, you know, very grounded kind of individuals. And I asked Harbaugh about that, and, you know, he praised the way that they work, their roommates. And I thought what was kind of funny, Donovan was talking about Tariq being the not neat one, and Tariq complained. Donovan was saying how Tariq complained about his.
Yeah, they called that out on Twitter,
so.
Too. I think I saw Tariq say it was flipped. It's flipped.
Tariq says Donovan isn't telling the whole story, so I don't know. Maybe one day we'll get to the bottom of it. But both those guys, I think you have to watch right now with the situation at Michigan at the wide receiver position. There are no givens right now. I mean, I think Kakoa Crawford will still be a guy that we talk about in there. Eddie McDoom, used in certain instances, you know, the jet sweep. He's known for his jet sweep fame, that kind of thing. But as far as just pure downfield receivers, I mean, Michigan has to replace Amara Darbo and J.U. Chesson, and that's not going to be easy. But Donovan Peoples-Jones and Tariq Black are two guys that I think are going to be candidates for starting roles. I really do. And speaking of candidate, maybe if they're not candidates for starting roles, they're at least going to get into the two deep. I think Benjamin St. Just at cornerback. John, this kid's tall. He's lean. He's not too skinny. He's lean. I mean, he's got like a shooting guard's body, kind of. I mean, he looks like he could probably play basketball. He's got that sort of build. Really athletic corner.
Yeah, 6'3", 170. So that does.
Well, no, I think he's 188.
Well, according to Rivals, it's 170 to 24/7, it's 170. 185 from Rivals. ESPN has him at 189, so maybe he's been bulking up, which definitely at that size, you definitely have room to fill out.
He's closer to 190. He's not 170. He's closer to 190, definitely. But as far as he goes, as a cornerback, I mean, Michigan doesn't have Jordan Lewis anymore, and we're Channing Stribling, and Channing was kind of a taller, longer guy. I think that Benjamin's going to have a chance to get in there. I think Jamarick Woods is going to have a chance to get in there. And again, if they're not starting, they're guys who are going to be competing, you know, in the two deep. And John, to wrap up Michigan's class, since we just talked about the early enrolls, go through Aubrey Solomon, number two defensive tackle in the country. He recommitted. Luigi Villain, number five weak side defensive end. He's committed. Drew Singleton, four-star outside linebacker. Jordan Anthony, he's number four outside linebacker in the country. Jordan Anthony, he's the number eight outside linebacker in the country. Chuck Falega, he's the number 14 offensive tackle in the country. Dylan McCaffrey, number five pro-style quarterback in the country. Nico Collins, number 23 ranked wide receiver in the country, 6'5", 195, too. That was a huge gap for the Wolverines on National Signing Day. Oliver Martin, another part of a historic wide receiver class for the Wolverines, historic class in general. He's the number 28 ranked wide receiver. Josh Ross, younger brother of James Ross, who played at Michigan, he's the number 9 inside linebacker in the country. James Hudson, number 13 defensive tackle. Darian Irving Bay from Flint, Michigan, the only player from Flint, Michigan to play in the U.S. All-American Bowl, or the Army All-American Bowl, number 21 ranked, number 10 ranked strong side defensive end. Omari Sanders, number 21 ranked running back in the country. Andrew Stuber, number 35 offensive tackle. Brad Hawkins, number 63 ranked wide receiver. He reclassified, as we talked about earlier this week. Joel Honingford, number 47 ranked offensive tackle. Philip Paya, number 38 ranked defensive tackle. Quiddy Pay, number 29 ranked weak side defensive end. And Kurt Taylor, he is the number 51 ranked running back in the country. So that wraps up your Wolverines 2017 class. Give or take, Brad Robbins, the punter, he's a hard commit. But, you know, again, they cleaned up. Now, if you were able to sit through and listen to that list, kudos to you. I realize lists aren't always the most entertaining form of podcast radio. So I do want to pick out a couple guys, though, John. I think I've spent enough time talking about the early enrollees. We've talked about, you know, Donovan Peoples-Jones for probably the last couple weeks now on the podcast. So Aubrey Solomon, as I mentioned a little bit ago, rattling off the list of players, Aubrey, I think, is his recommitment to Michigan. And if you follow the story, he decommitted and had that little social media mess up. I believe it was on Snapchat, and you know, all that crap, whatever.
Snapchat's dangerous for everybody. Snapchat's dangerous.
Yes, it's a little F Michigan type of deal, whatever. He's a kid. It's stupid, but I know there's still some people holding on to it. But whatever. When he's the number two ranked defensive tackle in the country, and when you see him play football, I think you're going to say, okay, I forgive you, Aubrey. Incredible pickup. Incredible pickup for the Wolverines. And Aubrey was considering Georgia and Alabama. And Paul Feinbaum, I remember blasting Jim Harbaugh after Solomon decommitted and saying, well, this is what happens, you know, when you go shirtless and going on these at your satellite camps and
the great whiteness.
He was really drilling Harbaugh because he was just saying his behavior is what drove Aubrey Solomon away, and essentially, and that couldn't be further from the truth, because Aubrey recommitted and Jim Harbaugh's still doing the same stuff. I don't know why Aubrey Solomon decommitted, and I don't know if anybody but Aubrey Solomon knows why Aubrey Solomon decommitted. But at the end of the day, he's committed to Michigan, and he's going to join the defensive line, John. I think that he will get, just not being a, you know, he's not an early enroll, but I think that Aubrey is going to have a chance to get in there too. And you put Aubrey Solomon, Rashawn Gary. I mean, Aubrey's going to play. I don't see why he wouldn't play. But you look at Michigan's defensive line with Brian Monet. He's coming back for another year. Mo Hurst is back for another year. Rashawn Gary. I mean, Carlo Kemp. They are loaded. The Wolverines are loaded. They're still, even though you lose Chris Wormley and Ryan Glasgow and Taco Charlton, they're still loaded up front. Aubrey's just another piece there. He's going to be a big addition. I think Drew Singleton. And they are. They're really – Michigan's defensive line is deep, and it always has been. That's kind of been – that's, I think that's where everything started. Greg Madison's defense is what got Michigan back, set a good foundation even during Hoke's final year. I mean, the Wolverines haven't been just horrible on defense. It's the offense that has needed to catch up. So I think they need some help at linebacker. Ben Mason, he's an early enroll. He's probably going to be able to help. But Drew Singleton – 6'2", 215 pounds. He's got good size. He's a 4-star, obviously talented. Paramus Catholic out of New Jersey, which is pipeline school for the Wolverines in recent years. I really think that he will be. John, a final note. I know a lot of people are talking about Dylan McCaffrey, 4-star quarterback out of Colorado. We mentioned it earlier this week during our National Signing Day preview, the comments from Tom Luganville of ESPN saying that he thought that Dylan would need 2 to 3 years to develop. And I think that's accurate. And judging by Jim Harbaugh's response when asked about Dylan McCaffrey yesterday, Nick Baumgartner of MLive.com, he was the only guy to ask about Dylan McCaffrey yesterday, as far as I know. So he asked Jim, said something like, "Hey, you haven't talked about Dylan yet." And Jim kind of like smiled and he started swinging his arm. He's like, "Well, you better get that arm lubed up, Dylan, or better lube up that arm, Dylan," something like that. So he didn't go into great detail. He said that he did like what the Wolverines have at quarterback, and
they just had one of the most efficient quarterbacks play for them last year. So I don't think it's an immediate need, but it's definitely a good pickup for down the road.
Yeah, I think we're looking at Dylan as, maybe doing something as a redshirt something in 2019. Who knows? But I don't think that he's going to be a factor at all this season. And actually, I want to mention one more, John, before we wrap up the Wolverine segment, as 4-star wide receiver Nico Collins. Again, I mentioned him in the list. Nico was initially was thought to be a Michigan lean all the way. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. The kid was going to Michigan. No question. Then Georgia was a factor, and people thought that maybe he wasn't going to commit to Michigan. Then late, just about a week before National Signing Day, the buzz was, okay, Nico is committing to Michigan. And then as it drew closer to National Signing Day, that talk got stronger and stronger and stronger. And then lo and behold, later in the day, Nico Collins ended up committing to Michigan. So an excellent wide receiver class. If you look at just position specific, Michigan might have one of the best, not might, it does have one of the best position specific classes. So if we break down every school's wide receiver class and compare it to Michigan, I don't think you're going to find one that's better. You might find some that are equal, but I don't think that you're going to find any that are better. It's a big day for Harbaugh and the Wolverines, big day, for Michigan fans. And no other way to describe it, John, for the Wolverines, but another massive success. Well, now that we've spent some time discussing Michigan's 2017 class, and we'll circle back at the end of the show, talk a little bit more. But right now, we want to jump into Michigan State's 2017 class. And we have Kyle Austin joining us on the ThinkSchlink.com guest line. He's a Spartans beat reporter. Basketball and football for MLive.com, does a fantastic job. Kyle, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks, Adam.
Now, before we get into Michigan State's class and breaking down, some of the key positions, some of the key signees, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Kyle. Was National Signing Day for Michigan State overshadowed by the news of Donovan Winter? How did that kind of impact the mood and kind of the, I guess, just the way everybody looked at signing day?
I think nationally it was a story that got a lot of headline because, people could write the headline on it, Michigan State signee doesn't sign because he's in jail. And I think people kind of had, I don't want to say a laugh, but it was certainly unique. So it's one of those things where it got a lot of traction. But at the end of the day, obviously it's one out of 22 signees from Michigan State. He could end up being a very good football player, but as far as his rankings within that class, he wasn't a very high-rated guy. You know, it's not like they lost, you know, a four-star, five-star. He's not from the state of Michigan, so it's not like J.R.U. Campbell, you know, his situation, which everybody followed very closely because he was a high-profile local guy. So, it's something that it was definitely a headline that a lot of people saw, and it's something that didn't look great for Michigan State, but I think it's something that's going to be forgotten fairly quickly, too. I don't expect him to join this class at any point. It's not like Austin Robertson last year where he had a legal issue and then he joined the class later. I think he'll be heading somewhere else for his college football, and I think it'll be a short story for Michigan State.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. Was there any chance that he would join Michigan State? And again, not to spend too much time on it, but Donovan Winter, young man from Florida, made a mistake by he was at his girlfriend's parents' house, according to the reports that I read, and ended up stealing the girlfriend's dad's gun, and then went to jail without incident. Now that has been covered, Kyle. Otherwise. Pretty successful national signing day at Michigan State. And we all know that Mark D'Antonio and Michigan State, they don't put a lot of stock into the star rankings. There's not like a ton of hoopla. Number 35 ranked in the country, but they did address some needs. One of the biggest needs, Hunter Risen, a four-star wide receiver. Michigan State's known for having, you know, pretty good wide receivers lately. What do you like about Hunter, and do you think that he's going to be an immediate impact guy?
Yeah, obviously he's a familiar name to Michigan to Michigan State fans. Son of Andre Risen, for anybody that didn't know. But yeah, he's a guy that came on early. One of the first guys they offered, committed early to the class, and he was one of those guys that kind of worked as a recruiter within the class and helped get a lot of guys and really kind of worked to organize that class. So I think that was a boon for them. And, you know, he's not one of these legacies that you're letting in because he's a legacy or because of his dad's name. You know, he's a four-star guy. He's one of the top 10 guys in Michigan, one of the top four or five rated guys in their class. He's a guy I think that has a chance to get on the field next year. You know, they've only got five scholarship wide receivers coming back to this team. So I think at least one or two of these true freshman wide receivers is going to play. He's enrolling early, so I think he's going to have a head start as far as the playbook and his conditioning. And, Mark D'Antonio talked about, you know, his body control, his route running, which is something that would help a true freshman get on the field. So I think if he knows the playbook and knows, you know, the different checks that need to be made, which can be a struggle sometimes for wide receivers, I would give him as good a chance as anybody as far as the new guys coming in that we would see them on the field in 17.
D'Antonio has a couple other three early enrollees in total for the Spartans, and Jack Camper, 6'6", 230-pound tight end. He's a three-star guy, but big-body tight end. The Spartans like those. Josiah Scott, 5'9½", quarterback, three-star ranking. What is Josiah just another example of maybe a slept-on defensive back that's got a lot of potential at Michigan State? And what do you think of Camper?
Yeah, so Josiah Scott comes from a very good football family. He has three older brothers who have all played for Mount Union, which is the Division III powerhouse that seems to win the national title every year in Ohio. So he's a guy that comes in and he knows what college football is about. I talked to him on the phone a couple of weeks ago, and he knew what to expect. He knew what the challenges would be. He knew what would be expected of him. So I think that's one of the advantages he has, kind of a smaller guy that he's got some speed, at the cornerback position. And he's a guy that they targeted early. He's an Ohio guy, so they were all over him. And I think they've known for a while that he's the guy that fits their mold. And the fact that he, I think, knows what to expect of his coming in early, I think should give him a leg up. Camper, you know, he went to IMG Academy. He's the first guy they've ever gotten down from IMG, which I think is good for Michigan State. He's a tight end, so he played tight end at his original high school in Virginia, went down to IMG, and they ended up changing offenses. So he played defensive end down there, but they still took him as a tight end. So he'll be making the transition back to that. So that'll be a transition for him to make, and we'll have to see how he does that. But, you know, good size. Obviously, they like his physicality, and I think he's got their set about as well.
Now, as far as the other go, I mean, 20 others joining Michigan State's class, 23 in total. Are there any other guys, any fall arrivals that you're kind of keeping your eyes peeled for? Any guy that you think could make some noise come fall camp?
Yeah, I'm keeping my eye on a guy named Matt Dobson. He's a tight end from Cincinnati, Archbishop Mueller High School, which is a high school that I believe has sent as many kids to Michigan State under Antonio as anybody, including Monty Medeiros, some guys like that.
He's a four-star guy.
Yep, that's right. He's a four-star guy, tight end. He's one of the two, three highest-rated guys they have. Had a lot of offers, got a lot of recruiting interest, went to the opening, was a pretty big national recruit, came to Michigan State, and, you know, a good pass catcher. You know, I think he's a good route runner, and I think he's going to be – could be an impact in the passing game. And you look at Michigan State's tight end situation, they're losing both their primary guys in Josiah Price and Jamal Lyles. So as far as position groups that are going to need a freshman to come in, tight end is at the top of the list for me. And I think Matt Dotson, if he can keep doing physically what he's been able to do as a recruit, I think he'll be at the top of that list. And they really only got one other scholarship tight end who's played it all, Matt Sokol. So I think the door is as open for Matt Dotson as anybody else. Other guys I look at, you know, I look at a Jacob Panisher. He's going to be another familiar name for you. His older brother was one of the gems of their class last year, defensive lineman, played right from the start, had great strength for a true freshman, and was able to play defensive tackle, which is not easy to do in the Big Ten at that age, but he was able to do it. And despite all the struggles overall in the defensive line, I think he held his own given the situation. And, you know, I think Jacob's going to look to see what his brother did last year and kind of do the same thing and continue that mold. He's a little bit bigger. He may start on defensive end, but you look at their defensive line right now. I mean, they've got guys, but it's pretty much in disarray as far as who's starting, who's in the rotation, what the hierarchy is as far as the depth chart. They've got more bodies in there. There might be competition, but I think there's a lot of opportunity if a freshman like him can come in and impress them day one. He's a guy that I would count on. And then I'll give you a third name. He's the highest rated overall commit that they've got, or signee now, I guess, that they've got. And that'd be Kevin Jarvis, offensive lineman. Only two of them have ever played as true freshmen under Mark D'Antonio, but I think he's got a good shot to be the third. They're telling us he's tipping the scales right now at about 340. So obviously he's got the size, but he's also a very skilled guy, played both sides of the ball. For a state championship team in Illinois. And he's a guy that I think he's going to have a good chance to play. A lot of these young guys, I think if they've got the size, they can kind of use that as kind of a stopgap until their skill level catches up. That's something Jack Conklin would talk about, what he did. So I think the fact that he's got the size and he's talented as he is gives him a good shot to get in on that offensive line.
Now, one more for you this morning, Kyle. I mean, Jim Harbaugh, you know, coming in Michigan, in-state recruiting, he's getting a lot of the attention right now. At the same time, Mark D'Antonio has been steady. And I know that we talked in the past couple of years, especially when he got, you know, like Malik McDowell, that was a huge get. But at the same time, while Jim Harbaugh is getting attention, D'Antonio still getting the type of guys that he wants. And he did well this year when you look, especially with three in-state guys, Antoine Simmons, Jordan Reed, and Cody White. How big are those guys just in terms of the in-state value, the presence of Michigan State, that sort of thing, and especially with Antoine being from Pioneer in Ann Arbor?
Yeah, Antoine was a big one because he committed after the season to them. And Michigan had just kind of gone on a run of in-state guys. And they still do have the top six in-state guys as far as the 24/7 sports composite rankings go, which does represent somewhat of a shift in tide as far as in-state, where in-state kids choose to go. But I think getting Antoine Simmons, a former Ohio State commit, a guy that I think is around 7, as far as the state rankings, I think that was really big for them. And, you know, it's 1 year. You know, I talked to some of the guys, you know, Alan True I spoke to, who follows us obviously very closely, and he said that this year is just a year where a lot of the top guys just happen to be Michigan fans growing up, and probably were leaning that way regardless of how the season went or regardless of Jim Harbaugh showing up. This year is just going to be a tough cycle for Michigan State as far as in-state guys anyway. But I think they did okay Given that, I mean, you talk about Antoine Simmons, Jordan Reed is the guy I think they're excited about. Cody White, great athlete, you know, guy that can do. I could see him playing a number of different positions at Michigan State, whether it's helping the defense, taking some snaps out of the Wildcat or whatnot. So I think they're happy with it. I think overall with this class, I think they would have liked to close better if you could get them to be a little bit honest. I think it was good for them. Obviously, the 3-9 is going to be, and how that affected it is going to be what people wonder with this class. I think it was good for them, and it was a big positive that they didn't have any decommits during or after that season. They had 17 guys. They had a pretty good core 17 guys that were committed when the season started, and they all stayed true in all of them, except for Camper, which is, or I'm sorry, not Camper, except for Donovan Winter, signed on signing day, which is good, and Mark D'Antoni appreciates that loyalty, but I also don't think they closed as well as they would have liked to. They missed out on a fair amount of guys that they were targeting and ended up having to go down to some two stars that were probably not their plan A or plan B's. And that's probably a result of going 3-9. But, you know, as the staff will tell you very quickly, they turned plenty of those guys, whether it's Darquez Denard or Jack Conklin or whoever, into guys. So it's going to, again, be about development. And they feel like they've got guys with potential. That'll be the next test for them.
Well, Kyle, great stuff as usual. We really appreciate your time. Kyle Austin of MLive.com, Michigan State basketball and football beat writer. Kyle, what do you have coming up next, and where can we follow you on Twitter?
Just some more follows. We want to find out a little bit more about these guys they signed. Twitter would be @KyleBAustin.
Excellent. Again, Kyle Austin, MLive.com. Really enjoyed it, Kyle. Thanks for your time, man.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
And as always, it's great to have Kyle on the show to talk Michigan State. We were just talking football with him. Now, Michigan State played basketball last night, along with everything else going on within kind of this National Signing Day aura around the college landscape right now. But, you know, it's the middle of college basketball season right now, and you've got teams fighting for position that is going to really try to fight and make it to the NCAA tournament. Right now, Michigan State and Nebraska, neither team is completely guaranteed a slot, especially with where they're both at in the Big Ten. Both came in with really close, a 5-4 and a 4-5 record in Big Ten play. Michigan State beat Nebraska 72-61 on the road in Lincoln. And that actually kind of surprised me that Michigan State was able to win so handily, considering that they had really pushed this a lot during the broadcast and from what I had seen in my research before, some of it from Kyle Austin's posts on MLive as well, that both of these squads, a lot of the games had come down to one-possession games, more or less. But Tim Miles' Nebraska squads really had Michigan State's number the last couple times. They even beat Michigan State the last go-around. And Michigan State somehow wasn't dramatically burned by Nebraska's big men, and there wasn't a problem with foul trouble, even though one of the biggest storylines coming to this game was Nick Ward had been dealing with a flu bug, and he played 17 minutes, had 10 points, 4 rebounds. I mean, it wasn't the biggest impact, but Michigan State looks like they were able to really kind of, is the right word, get away with playing Goins at so many minutes at center?
Yeah, and Kenny last night, and I tweeted this, you have to give Kenny Goins some credit. He was sick as well. And, you know, wearing the mask, he's got the leg brace on, 5-for-5. I don't think he played a ton of minutes last night, but, you know, they did use him to spell Ward. Kenny did get into foul trouble, though. He did have 4 fouls. But at the same time, I mean, that's part of Kenny's job, too. I mean, he's got to be the guy who could go in there and get physical. They don't want the fouls to pile up on Nick if they don't have to. So I thought Kenny Goins had a fantastic game. Miles Bridges had a great game, too. And like you said, John, I was impressed with the way that they won on the road. You look about the final seven, I want to say with about 7 or 8 minutes to go, they had like a 12-point lead. And at that point, the next couple minutes are critical, right? Because that's either, are they going to let Nebraska get back into it, or is this going to be kind of a constant thing, and you can sustain the lead? And they did that. And being on the road, they shot, 11-16 for three-point land. Just a consistent, really consistent effort, and especially following a win over Michigan. And Miles Bridges was quoted as saying that the win over Michigan could be a turning point for the Spartans. And I think you go on the road and you play Nebraska. And John, Who does Michigan State play here in a few more days? So it's another critical game for the Spartans, who haven't won more than three in a row all year, right? Is it three or four? Is there long? It's a four-game winning streak.
I need to look at that right now, because that's a very good point. Because this Michigan State team, it's early in the season too. It was scheduling. They were playing so many good teams, and they were playing them all over the country. Izzo had talked about how he didn't have a chance to really coach his team, which is a kind of dangerous combination considering how young this team was. And then you had some cupcakes in there, but then you even had a loss to Northeastern, and so nothing was really a given for this Michigan State team due to the injuries and due to the schedule that they were playing. So it's been quite the topsy-turvy season, really, where you don't quite know where it's going to go. And luckily, I think Michigan State had a good matchup against Nebraska, who is also really guard-oriented. And so Michigan State was not burned by that. And I'm interested to see if Michigan is going to be able to take advantage of that, because they really didn't do that in the first matchup.
Yeah, and again, with Zach Ervin going 0-for-8, Zach had flu symptoms. I guess he had missed the prior two practices.
Did he get Nick Ward sick?
Yeah, exactly. I was wondering that, because I saw the other day Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News. He had tweeted something about Nick Ward having the flu, and immediately.
I mean, you guys are sweating on each other a lot. I mean, I'd actually wonder how common that is, because you know you've got guys literally in close proximity. You're sweating on each other. I mean, there's contact. I mean, basketball is not supposed to be a physical sport, but it is a little bit in the Big Ten.
And just being around, breathing. I mean, I can see how you could get sick. So,
overall, I mean, Miles Bridges in the game against Nebraska, he is 7 of 10, 16 points, 6 rebounds. It's really interesting, because what I'm noticing with this Michigan State team is that Goins is in there fighting for position. I mean, he had a perfect night, 5 of 5, but he's not necessarily going to be leading the team in rebound. What seems to kind of happen is he's getting his body in there, he's fighting, but then that's allowing one of the guards to pick up the rebound, which is something that Izzo had talked about before, that rebounding nights for his guards, and it really kind of showed how important that, even if you're not going to have the size advantage, just kind of boxing out and tipping it will allow your teammate to get the ball.
Kenny's a smart player. If he wasn't, he wouldn't be at Michigan State, because everybody talks about his physical limitations, and in most cases, that would be enough to keep him out of a program like Michigan State, right? But where he makes up for not being the biggest, strongest guy in the court is that he's a lot of times one of the smartest, and I think Kenny knows how to play basketball. He knows about body positioning, and you know he's working his butt off through practice. And I think it was about a couple weeks ago, Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal wrote a great column on Kenny Goins about why Michigan State fans should like Kenny Goins. I know some of them are kind of divided, but if you don't appreciate at least what Kenny Goins does, then I don't think that you really understand the game of basketball. And I'm not trying to be a jerk, I'm not trying to call anybody out, but if you don't understand the value of Kenny Goins, and if you don't understand what he does on a day-to-day, shift-to-shift basis for the Spartans, then I think you got to pay closer attention to basketball and kind of find out what's important and what makes things go, because Kenny Goins is a vital part to Michigan State.
He does the nitty-gritty stuff. I mean, he's the Izzo kind of player. I mean, Izzo mentioned the face mask, how he's going to hopefully play a little bit more physical. And what I've seen out of Kenny Goins the last couple of games is he's been really fighting, scrapping, usually smart decisions. There's a couple, you know, awkward moments with passes, but also I've been impressed, too, with his passing. I mean, there was a perfect moment last night when he received the ball just outside the paint and zipped it across the court for an open three. I think it was for Naren, where they had to review it over and over. But he's really good at also, I think that's something that's developed a little bit more recently, is I've noticed his passing has really been able to help set his teammates up. This is a Michigan State team that's going to be perimeter-oriented just due to the nature of being guard-heavy, and he works well for setting them up. He's able to do the little things to help his teammates succeed. And, you know, 10 points in 19 minutes, one block, one assist, that's not really bad. That's a pretty efficient night overall.
And again, we'll get into more basketball in the coming weeks, and just trying to get John. I say it all the time, it's like it's hard to let go of football season And I thought that I was doing well after bowl season, and National Signing Day comes, and then spring football will be on its way. So we'll have more football to talk about, but we'll get more into Michigan and Michigan State basketball during the next show. I want to thank everybody for listening. You can find us online at sportsinthemitten.com. You could find us on Twitter at SITM Big and Kid. You can find me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81.
You can find me on Twitter at JGustin113, and you can follow our Super Bowl reactions there as well. Really quick before we go, Adam, who do you got?
I'm taking the Patriots. I mean, that was my pick in the beginning. I thought it'd be the Patriots and Packers. Jim Harbaugh said, someone asked him, what if Tom Brady wanted to coach at Michigan, like be the quarterback's coach? Jim Harbaugh said that he would take a deep, long bow and let Tom be the head coach, and he would coach and Jim would coach the quarterback. So I thought that was kind of funny. I like the Patriots in this one. I know the Falcons have nice offense. I know Matt Ryan is getting a lot of attention, and rightfully so. But I like the Patriots in this one.
I broke down. I mean, I've given my picks in previous shows. I kept saying the Patriots, but the more and more it sits with me, I'm going to regret this, but I think the Falcons are going to win. I think they have the right personnel matchup. I think they're going to get to Brady, and I think we're going to see Brady get hit in the mouth, and he doesn't respond well to that. Most quarterbacks just don't. I mean, when you're getting hit, that's going to be in the back of your mind. Rodgers, Manning, Brady, that's kind of a weakness of any quarterback outside of, I don't know, Cam Newton, just because he's maybe been hit so much due to his nature of play. I think Atlanta, they've got a very athletic D-line. They've got two weapons at running back. You've got Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. I mean, everything there seems to line up perfectly to attack the Patriots. I think the weakness, too, the Patriots' one chink in their defense, which is kind of an amoeba unit because they can kind of mesh everywhere, it will be the linebacker core. And I think this is going to be a perfect matchup for Atlanta to take advantage of it. And I don't necessarily know. Brady's great, but without Gronkowski, I don't know if there's quite enough offensive firepower there to really take apart Atlanta. I think they're really going to bend it. I think it's going to put a lot of pressure on Atlanta, but I don't think we're going to really see it break. So I think this is going to be a fun game. It's going to be a shootout, but I think I'm going to have to take Atlanta probably 30. I'm going to take Atlanta 20. I'm taking Atlanta 33-28, and I think it's going to be a close game, but I think what's the difference is Brady's going to get hit a little bit more than Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan's going to show why he was the MVP.
And feel free to tweet your predictions at us again at SITM Big and Kid, and visit us at sportsinthemitten.com. We want to thank ThinkShlink.com and Mr. Spots Van Arbor for their support. I'm Adam, he's John, we're Sports in the Mitten, and we'll talk to you guys next time. In the end, we shall achieve in time the thing they call divine, when all the stars will smile for me, when all is well. Happy old-